welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So again, welcome. Great to have you with us this morning. Thank you for tuning in, and we just trust that God's got a word especially for you. We've got a few folks here that can be part of our gathering requirement, and we're just trusting a lot of you are joining, you know, at home and feeling that, the sense of the live feed. So it's a great step forward, I think, as we're together partaking in worship and the Word of God, and just trusting it won't be long before we're all gathered together again here as it needs to be and it needs to happen. Praise God. This is okay. There's grace for this season, but this is not a new norm. We are going to regather. It is going to come back to where we are assembling together, because there is a special, powerful dynamic in that, and I just want you to know that's our heart, and we look forward to having you all back here in the Door of Life building again. So, praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning, and I'm going to start with a passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 136, and the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever." This is just a beautiful proclamation of thanksgiving to God, saying who He is. But then later on in the psalm, he goes a little bit deeper and says this: "To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, His mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever." The psalmist starts out about talking about the God of creation and who He is and what He's done as our Creator. But he goes on to then get very specific on a nation level and say, He did this. He divided that sea for us. His mercy endures forever. He begins like a historical accounting and retelling specific events of the faithfulness of God. It's a powerful truth. It's a powerful thing that we see throughout the Scriptures. The psalmist, you'll see various writers in the Scriptures, will recount their backstory. They'll let us know how they got to where they are. They'll recount the faithfulness of God in their lives. And as children of God, Romans 8:14, we can see the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. You did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. For as He rises up within us, our spirits join Him in saying the words of tender affection, "Beloved Father." For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as He whispers into our innermost being, "You are God's beloved child." As we take these two thoughts and put them side by side, the psalmist recounting the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and we see that as children of God, we are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit, we find out that we have a story. We have our own historical account of what God has moved and given us impulses to say and to do that leaves in our lives a personal history of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And this morning, the title of the message is simply, "Your Story, Your Story, Seeing God's Hand in Your Life." And so what we're going to do this morning, it's going to be a little bit of a storytelling kind of a morning. Your story, seeing God's hand in your life. We're going to actually take a look at the Apostle Paul and how he does this. The Apostle Paul, as we know, wrote many of our instructions in the New Testament, our guidelines, the promises, different things like that. But interwoven in all those epistles of Paul are his own backstory and how God worked in him and moved and worked through his life. We get a historical account of him and some of those different places where the impulses of the Holy Spirit led him and guided him in different ways. And as we do that, again, I want us to be thinking about this. Here's kind of how this is going to unfold. We're going to walk through the Apostle Paul's historical accounting of the faithfulness and the goodness of God in his life. As we do, I'm going to relate in my life, kind of in parallel with that, how God has worked and moved in my life specifically by the impulses of the Holy Spirit and has led and guided me and taken me by the hand through life. What I'm believing for is what we call the second sermon of the Holy Spirit. As we're relating Paul's story, as I'm sharing my story, that the Holy Spirit's going to stir up in you your story. You have a story. God's been faithful to you. He has worked in your life. There are events that you are just undeniably, that's a God thing. What do you do with that? I'll tell you, people who are living for God, I find, have a story. And they tell their story. I'm married into the Scholl family. And I found out, you know, not after too long being around Fred and Kathy, one of the heritages of their family is they retell stories of different events, of provision, protection, revelation, but their story. I can tell some of their stories as well as they can. But there's a habit and there's a pattern of telling the story of God and knowing your story, right? I went to Rhema, Kenneth Hagin. That guy knew his story and could tell his story. And people that are going on in God, they know their own story. It's good to know what God did through David and Samuel and the different Joseph and the different Old Testament examples of faith. That's great. They are great examples of faith. But there are going to be times in your life when the word that gets you through is going to be the Holy Spirit reminding you of your story, what God did in you. And in the middle of the despair and the demonic math that makes you think it's all over, God reminds you of something he did in your life. And it destroys everything. Hey, he didn't bring me this far to die here. No, he brought me on. I got a story. You got a story. And as we're going through in the message this morning, like I said, we'll see Paul's story. You'll hear my story. But let the Holy Ghost stir up in you your story. There may be some things you forgot God did in your life. The Holy Spirit's going to bring some of those things to your remembrance. Know your story. Know what God's done in your life. He's been faithful to you. He loves you. He's been good to you. And we're going to be stirred up in our story. Your story, seeing God's hand in your life. So we're going to go ahead and get started with what we'll call your backstory. The Apostle Paul had a backstory. He was before this angry mob in Jerusalem. He had a chance to give a defense. And he said this, Paul, then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as all of you are today. I persecuted this way, he's talking about Christianity, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all of the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed, I came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise, go unto Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. So he's kind of in front of an angry mob of people that were very much the way he was just a few years before. And he's telling him his backstory. I get you. I know where you're coming from. But I was on the road to Damascus, and there was a great light that shone around about me. And we see the Apostle Paul's story, and it's powerful. It's like this bolt of lightning, you know, powerful experience that he, you know, is literally confronted by Jesus himself. And he has to answer that, and he says, okay, Lord, show me what to do. But there's something to understand, too. Even though we think of Paul's story that way, there is more to Paul's story than just this. There is another backstory, too, that we see that he happened to be one of the guys that was holding the coats while they were stoning Stephen. All right? And before that stoning of Stephen happened, Stephen stood up and declared and gave a message, a powerful sermon about going from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul heard Stephen's words. In fact, the Bible says that Stephen just spoke by wisdom that men couldn't resist. There was a witness that the Apostle Paul had and he saw in Stephen that was kind of part of his backstory that ultimately comes pulling through here. And when he's confronted by Jesus, everything just kind of lines up. He gets it. He surrenders to God. Now, a lot of times in our life, it's similar. You know, you might have grown up in a Christian home. Maybe not. We all have different backstories and whatnot. But ultimately, regardless of what our backstory is, we all come to that same conclusion. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we call upon him like the Apostle Paul did, and we're saved. You know, my earliest memories, I think, when I think back to the early childhood backstory stuff, we were raised up in a Lutheran church. And when I was very small, my first memory of being in church, we would sing different parts of the liturgy. You know, it was a liturgical service. There'd be speaking parts, response parts. There'd be congregational singing parts. And my earliest memory was we would be singing, "O Lord, have mercy." And in my mind, I was thinking, as a little kid, they were singing, "O Lord, have birdseed." And I was just didn't understand. I wasn't old enough to read. You know, so I couldn't see what we were singing. I was just listening to it. And I always wondered, why would the Lord want birdseed? And as I grew up a little bit more and I could actually read the words, I could see, oh, that's mercy. Okay, the Lord have mercy. And so I was kind of, you know, learning early on that it's funny I would remember that, but it's like the Lord almost kind of marked my conscience as that was your very first point toward your spiritual journey, where you were aware of spiritual things, wondering about spiritual things, and then beginning to connect dots and say, oh, okay, that's what that was. That's what that meant, you know? And I remember as I was just kind of thinking and formulating ideas about God and opinions about God, and, you know, you kind of observe the adults and what your parents think and different things like that. One of the big spiritual shaking moments of my life, I was almost turning nine, and my dog got hit by a car, Rusty. And it was such a big deal to me because when Rusty died, it was like my revelation of death. You know, as a little kid, I watched cartoons, you might see things, but it's all Hollywood, it's all acting, and I never really considered death. And I remember Rusty died, and I was just like, oh man, I was just so heartbreaking. I just remember how heartbroken and shaken I was in my spirit and seeing him there. And then going to bed that night and having a dream that I saw Rusty. Having a dream that I could see him. We had the stairway in our house, and he was on the top of the stair. I was on the bottom of the stair and looking at him in my dream and saying, oh, Rusty, I thought you died. And just kind of running and hugging him in the middle of the stairway in my dream. And right there when I hugged him, I woke up to realize that, oh, he did die. He really did pass. So there was a stir. It was like my spirit was stirred. Death is real. It's not a game. It's not a subplot in a movie. And when Rusty died, he was dead. He was gone. And it just stirred something in. It was like a seed that stirred something spiritual in me. And it just so happened, and I'll forever be thankful to the Lutheran denomination for this, the very next week, I was at an age in our Lutheran tradition where they gave us a little blue denim Bible. It was just the New Testament. But it had a little pocket on there, just kind of a blue denim-y Bible. And I thought, wow, because I was so vulnerable. I was so sensitive in my spirit. And as soon as I got that Bible, I wanted to read it. It was like, I need to read this Bible. And I started to read the Bible and beginning to experience the just the words on the page. I remember the passage I remember reading, and I had just like turned 9, I think, shortly after I got this Bible, reading in Matthew chapter 5 where Jesus said, you've heard it was said, you know, to love your neighbor, you know. But he said, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who are mean to you. Pray for them. He said, if you just love those who love you, what are you doing more than anybody else? A sinner can do that. He said, but you're like your Father in heaven when you love those who don't love you. I remember that as a 9-year-old boy, those words penetrating my heart, thinking, there's something different about God. There's something different about the way he thinks, his words. That stirring in my spirit. You know, and so it was like a lot of times our backstory, we've got these moments where we have these personal, they can be intimate encounters that can be just between you and God. And I remember that so clear, so well. And ironically, it was probably just about a year later or so, my parents took us to Carson Park to a Lowell Lundstrom crusade where he was talking about the gospel and Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus Christ into your Lord, that he works on your heart. I just remember touching my heart, sensing the work of the Holy Spirit right there. It was like another dot. It was another experience that you couldn't take away. God is real. I experienced his presence right here. And then probably about, you know, later that year, I remember there was a brand new movie that came out in 1977 called Jesus of Nazareth. I remember watching that with our family. We would watch that every night. And it was like, wow, getting a visual, getting an understanding. It's like there's this churning in my spirit, in my heart. And then it kind of happened. When I was in 7th grade, I had a teacher, Miss Lewison, who gave a book report on a book called Run, Baby, Run. It was a recreational reading class. And so she did a book report on the story of Nicky Cruz and his life. And I remember she set it up so well that we all wanted to watch it, or we all wanted to read it. We all read the book. And it just so happened that Nicky Cruz himself, an evangelist, came through Eau Claire within about a month of when we read it. She knew that. She set us all up to get saved. And reading that book and going to that crusade, I remember it was Memorial High School in Eau Claire, and just when I went forward to give my heart to Jesus. And Nicky, he had this broken English, and yet it was so clear. The gospel was so clear from somebody who didn't even primarily speak my language. He was Puerto Rican, and yet he spoke so profound. And I remember coming to the altar and receiving Jesus as my, just to receive, you know, to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Then we went back into the lunchroom there at Memorial and had a counselor, and he asked if he wanted, you know, wanted him to pray, you know, specifically. And I said, no, I want to pray. It was so strange. I remember that. I know I don't need you to pray. I want to pray. I prayed my own prayer to receive Jesus because I knew what I needed to do. It was like God was setting me up. And I received the Lord, and I remember that day, that night, as we were leaving, I physically felt lighter. I knew my sins were forgiven. I knew my conscience was cleansed from dead works. I experienced that. I experienced the love of Jesus Christ. I could, like, literally feel lighter on my feet. Now, that's not a Damascus Road experience, all right? And that's not usually what a lot of our stories are. There is a story, a backstory of experiences that we have in God that ultimately it's like a dot-to-dot puzzle that all connects up and we see it. Jesus died on that cross for my sins. He shed his blood for me. It's not just a world religion. It's a personal sacrifice in a personal way. And I received it. And praise God, I became born again. I became a Christian. And when it comes to your backstory, your testimony, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, beat that testimony who came from the worst, darkest, blackest place. You know, the best testimony there could be is that, man, you were saved a bunch of junk, and you were spared it, and you came to know that early. But whatever your story is, the point is that you come to that conclusion. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Think about your backstory. You know that you believe in Jesus, but how did you get there? I mean, you might look back on some things that you did before you got there and think, wow, it's amazing God stuck with me through that. He did stick with you through that. And let me tell you this too. The same unconditional love that loved you while you were a sinner still unconditionally loves you now as a believer and still puts up with you and loves you and hasn't given up on you and is still for you. Praise God. That's a backstory. You have a story and a backstory. Not only do you have a backstory, but you have a growing up story too. You got there. You got to your lunchroom decision for Jesus. You got to your Damascus Road experience. Whatever your testimony is, whatever your backstory is, when you finally said, okay, this is real. Mom and Dad were right. Jesus is alive. He is real. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, this is for real. This is not a made-up fairy tale story religion that we're trying to do to gain a certain level of social acceptance to fit and thrive and function in a certain society and culture. No. Jesus is the Lord. He really came. He didn't come to start up another religion. He came to save us from a real hell, bring us to a real heaven, to save us from our real sin. And you see it. From there, you got a whole new world. You got a whole new world of beginning to grow up. And the Apostle Paul, as he relates it, he tells his story this way in Galatians. He says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, 'He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which you once tried to destroy,' and they glorified God in me." The Apostle Paul had an amazing backstory of growing up spiritually. He got the revelation, you know, when he says there, "I make known to you the gospel which was preached to me, not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." He had some back time. After he got saved, he went into Damascus. He had some time in Arabia. He had some time where he was getting schooled by the Holy Spirit. We know that he was raised at the feet of Gamaliel, you know, in terms of his studying and his learning. But then the Holy Spirit began to take those Old Testament, Old Covenant teachings and begin to show him how they were fulfilled in Christ. He began to show him the revelation of salvation by grace through faith. And I mean, not only the Old Covenant words, but the gospel of Jesus Christ and the words of Christ, and just begin to show and reveal and unveil to Paul. He had a Holy Spirit education. He was trained. You know, as believers, God gives us pastors, and he gives us, you know, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, for the equipping of the saints. He gives us ministry gifts, right, to speak through us, to minister to us. But ultimately, everything you get has to come through the filter of the one. And that's what John meant when he said, "You have an anointing of the Holy One. You need not that any man teach you. That anointing teaches you all things." Again, we still have ministry gifts. We still have teachers, like even like what I'm doing on a Sunday morning here today. But if there's anything in you that's of him, that's true, that's right, and you know he wants you to have it, it's not just because I'm saying it in my authority means nothing. It's because the Holy Spirit in you bears witness that it's true. And ultimately what you get, there is a schooling of the Holy Ghost that we all get, that we all come through, that we all grow up through, the anointing and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And you know it, and it witnesses true. It's powerful. Now, the Apostle Paul, certainly an apostle, writer of the Scriptures, That's the ultimate experience, not taught of man nor by man, but by revelation. But there is a pattern there, and we can be surround ourselves with good preachers and teachers, but you got to know that the anointing, the Holy Spirit in you, He is a big part in your life, in your story too, of that process. Now, in my life, as I was, you know, got saved and, you know, I was probably seventh, eighth grade-ish. At that time in my life, I just thought everybody was either Lutheran or Catholic. I didn't know anything about denominations or that kind of stuff. I just didn't know. You know, it was something. So I served God in my Lutheran church, and I'll tell you what, whereas my parents would, you know, make us go to church, now I was proactively looking forward to church every Sunday. Because I was looking, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And when that minister gets up and ministers, the Holy Spirit witnesses truth. And if you got an open and a hungry heart, you're going to get stuff. And if it's the Word of God that's being spoken, you're going to get stuff. You're going to learn. You're going to glean. You're going to, you know, a lot of times we can compare ourselves amongst ourselves in churches and all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you, give me a hungry heart, somebody who's hungering and thirsting after God, they're going to be filled, all right? And so I was getting everything that I knew. I was getting everything that I could and glean, and I was excited. I remember having this little, my blue denim Bible. This is, you know, back in the early 80s, I had these silver speakers on my wall that I would run my little Walkman through and get my stereo sound. And I'd have my little blue denim Bible on one of my top of my silver speakers. And I'm just, you know, seventh, eighth grade kid, but I'm going through that New Testament now methodically. You know, we just kind of hodgepodge before. But now, after receiving Christ, I really wanted to get through that New Testament. And I remember reading the book of Acts and just being blown away. Because, you know, you grew up in Sunday school, you get all the Old Testament Bible character stories. Of course, you get the Gospels of what Jesus did. But I didn't realize how much I didn't know in the book of Acts that these apostles did. I mean, in little bits here and there, but I remember getting through the book of Acts and thinking, wow, that was really good. I like the book of Acts. You know, just thinking that to myself because it made such an impression on me. Those are just points. It's a point where I began to grow up spiritually in the Lord. Shortly after that, you know, in my high school years, I got introduced to some Christian music. Guy made a tape for me, and it was really cool. And it's like, wow, this is really neat. I'd never heard of like Christian rock and roll, different things like that. I think The Trumpet of Jesus was the first Christian rock and roll song I ever heard. And I was like, wow, that is so good, because it resonated in my spirit, the truth of it, you know, and that music and different things like that. And I just began to realize there's more. You know, there's more. And I had started dating a gal who was Pentecostal, but it was a different kind of Pentecostal. Certainly not Julie, but this was a gal who they believed that unless you were baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that you didn't have the Holy Spirit really and you really weren't saved. Now, I had been walking with the Lord, you know, pretty solidly for a good 4 or 5 years up to this point. So they came along too late to tell me that I wasn't saved because I didn't speak in tongues, all right? I knew better than that. In fact, I had a pretty good working knowledge of my New Testament, my Good News New Testament, and I remember going back and forth with her pastor on some of these things, saying, you know, that I'm a Christian, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, you know, and just really the basis for being a Christian. But it really, again, this is my growing up story, and the Holy Spirit begins to lead you to places of growing up. And I remember that, you know, I remember ending that relationship. She couldn't recognize me as a believer. Well, that's that. I don't want you to be unequally yoked, you know? So that kind of a thing. I realized, even though I knew that wasn't right, it stirred me up because I could see it in the Bible. And I like the Bible. And I believe the Bible. And I have a reverence for the Bible, the Word of God. And so it got me searching. And I remember that summer of 84. You know, it was the summer after my junior year. I began going from church to church because I realized there is more than Catholic and Lutheran. There's more out there than that. And just really beginning to understand denominationally the different flavors and their attitude toward the Bible. And it was just all opening up to me. But I was coming from a place of already having a walk with the Lord and reading the Bible and knowing the Word of God in my own way that I knew from reading it and what I would get on a Sunday morning. And as I was going out, I began to, this is the funny thing. I was going from church to church and I met up with this guy named Steve. I can't even remember what his last name is. He was this really tall, blonde guy. And he was in the same boat I was in. I don't remember how he was raised, but he was we were both going, there's got to be more. There's more to God, more of the Word, more of the Spirit. And probably for a good 2 months, me and Steve would go to churches together. And we would check out churches together as we're going on our quest and our spiritual journey, you know, on the Pentecost and the Word and different things like that. And man, we were buds for like 2 to 3 months, that whole summer of 84. And at the end of the summer, I settled on a church called Bethel Church in Eau Claire. And because the pastor sat me down and affirmed my salvation, said, Ed, you are saved, you are a child of God. But there's a subsequent experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's available for believers. And then when he got that in proper perspective, it was like, oh, praise God, you know. And a few months later, I'm in my bedroom, I'm just worshiping God, and at some point my hallelujah is turned into a prayer language. You can't take that away from me. You can't explain that away from me. I know the same Spirit. I love how 1 Corinthians 12 talks about there's different administrations, there's different giving, but it's the same Spirit. There's a common denominator in the Spirit of revelation, of power, of witness. And you ask me how I know tongues is for today, it's the same Spirit, that same anointing, that same witness, and just building me up in that language, that prayer language, and just the strengthening of my spirit. I remember going back to my Blue Denim Bible and beginning to read it in English in the Bible and then just turning into that language. It's like, wow, this is really cool. You know, I'm in my house, of course, nobody knows about this or believes it in my house, but I'm having this little revival in my bedroom, you know, and it's so cool, and it's so God. But here's the thing I want to tell you about something too. This Steve guy, I'm looking forward to meeting him in heaven. Maybe I'll meet him before then, I don't know. But he ended up going to Amy Chapel, which I think might have been the Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area. I ended up going to Bethel Church. He found his heart. He found where he was going, what he's looking for. I found my heart. We've never crossed paths since. But it's unique how God, in a season of your life, he'll find somebody that's a lot like you, and you're going through things, and we're growing, and we're going together. We were just encouraging each other. I wasn't trying to convince him he had to go to, he wasn't trying to convince me that I'd go to Amy Chapel. Not at all. We were both searching, we found it. And we thrived and we went in our ways. And again, I'd be curious to see this guy. Again, I can see his face. And I know his first name was Steve. I can't remember his last name. But God in your life will give you people that'll come alongside, that'll be encouragers in your life. And I remember going then to Bethel Church. And as I began to go to Bethel Church, then, oh, so many things started to click. The authority of the Word of God, the flowing in the Spirit of God, seeing the demonstration of the Spirit, you know, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, laying on of hands, healings, all the stuff I was reading about in Corinthians and throughout the book of Acts, I could see it. It's like, oh, wow, cool. This is what it looks like in real life, you know? And so it was such a cool experience for me as I'm growing up. Again, be thinking about this. You got your story. You got the ways the Holy Spirit has begun to reveal and open things up in your life, coming at some of your backstory of different things. Man, the Holy Spirit, he's the great teacher. And again, thank God for the gifts and all those things. But bottom line, what's in you, what you're believing, not because you're believing because so-and-so wants you to believe, what you really believe is what you really got that witness of the Holy Ghost. And that's what you're holding on to, all right? The Holy Spirit has shown you some things. The Holy Spirit has brought you through some experiences that are undeniably real between you and him. He's growing you up. That's why Jesus said, I'm not leaving you orphan. I'm sending the Holy Ghost. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. And just as this cross has to become a revelation of intimacy, my sin, Ed House sins on that cross, there's a revelation of the Holy Ghost that's equally intimate. He's leading and guiding me by his Spirit and all truth. It's amazing, our lives. Like we said last week, for the Lord, 1,000 years is a day. That means our lives translate into about a 2 to 2.5 hour movie in the Spirit. So, our lives are a movie. You are the star of your movie. We have supporting cast of characters. Steve was one of my supporting cast of characters. We are our loved ones, our spouse, our children. There are supporting cast of characters, but this is your movie ultimately. And you are going to stand before the Lord. Not you and your family, you are going to stand before your Lord and give an account as the star of your movie, what you did with his time, And thank God for the, again, the surrounding actors. But there's a growing up time that's going on in this movie, all right? So as this movie is going on, as the plot is thickening, you are growing. You're growing more than you realize. You may experience things that may emotionally make you feel like you're back here, but you're not back here. You're still where you are. You're still moving forward. God has still revealed himself to you. And you're moving forward into things that he has for your life. And I'll just kind of, you know, there's so much that you can say, but I'll just say this. Another real key experience that happened for me is I knew, of course, I met Julie. We got married. We're looking forward. We're believing God's going to use us to start a church someday. And I remember so clear in my spirit, it was actually Julie's Uncle Denny. We were just sitting in the garage in our house in Eden Prairie, and he looked at me and he said, "What about you and Julie? You guys are going to start a church, right?" I go, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Someday God's going to use us to start a church. Yep, someday." And he just looked at me and said, "Well, maybe now's the time. Maybe now's the time." He said, if it just meant getting a little ham and egger job, because I do computer consulting and all this stuff, if we just meant getting a little ham and egger job, would you be willing to do that if now's the time?" It's like, ah. Oh. Of course, the right answer to that question is yes. That's the right answer. We know the right answer. But it was one of those questions that probed my heart and my motive. Maybe now's the time. And so I told him the right answer, yes. But then that night, you know, after, you know, I was done talking with him, the Lord just dealt with me. "Ed, are you ready? If the opportunity came now, would you have a resume? Would you be prepared?" And I was just like, "Sir, yes." And I just, it was like a call, "Get ready, get ready." And that discussion made me prepare a resume in faith, knowing that I got to do my part to get ready. And it was within maybe a day or two, I got an email from Rhema saying, "Hey, we've got some opportunities for people who are interested in starting a new work." And the top one that came up was Door County, Wisconsin. Here's the deal, though. When I was 17 and a half years old, I went out in our backyard, knelt on our little hill that we have there on Jupiter Avenue, and cried out to God, said, "Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. I answer your call to ministry. Do whatever you want me to do. God, just use me." 17 and a half years later, when I'm about 35, I got that email and answered the call. That's about 17, that was like my whole lifetime again of preparation. Just putting into me, to prepare me to just begin to start to move out. In fact, I had a similar experience when I was in Bethel Church. We were singing in the choir loft and just getting ready to go to Rhema. I'm just getting ready, I want to go to Rhema and then tear it up. And the Spirit of God said, "It's going to be 7 years before I begin to use you in the way I want to start to use you." And 7 years to probably the month or day, I don't know, I don't remember the exact day, we were in our church and the pastor said to me, "Ed, I want you to have a new believers class. I want you to pastor these people. They're just new and they need somebody to cut their teeth on the word." And I got to pastor these 12 people. And it just moved me out. It could see prophetically God was preparing my heart, settling me down. Because you realize that you don't have to do it really fast. Once you get it in you, you can tear it up. They'd always tell us in Bible school, preparation time is never wasted time. There's going to be a process of growing up spiritually. We ended up getting here. Again, more I could say about that. But I just want to close with this and finish out with this, your present story. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, "Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me." Now look what he says here. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, as many as are mature, have this mind. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Now, he's saying, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Now, certainly, he's not forgetting his testimony. In fact, earlier in this very chapter, he goes through his testimony of the tribe of Benjamin. You know, Pharisee of the Pharisees, concerning the law, you know, but then he goes on to his testimony. "But I count all that loss that I may be found in Christ." All the credentials, all the things that would give him natural credibility, that's nothing. He said, I just want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I'm forgetting anything that would tie me to my past in a way that would change my heart. He says, we are of the circumcision which worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. I've got a backstory, but my confidence isn't in my backstory. My confidence is in it. I haven't earned some credentials that I'm putting confidence. No, I'm looking forward. I'm looking straight ahead. But I'm remembering. Now, the Apostle Paul was great about accounting and remembering. But in our future, we're looking forward. We're looking forward remembering his faithfulness to us. He was faithful to here, 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 as I'm looking forward. That's why I can look forward to the goal of the upward prize of the call of God that's in Christ Jesus. The thing that can bind your backward gaze in a way that's hindering is when it's either your failures or other people's failures. Guilt and bitterness will tie you into this direction. And one of the first things you experience when you really get free is your ability to imagine again. You're not just forgiven. I can imagine my future. I can look out ahead. This way you can't imagine. All you can see is what you've come through and the bad and the dark stuff. But man, this is why it's important to forgive and receive forgiveness. You know, I'm so glad that we're called to forgive even as. This is humbling. But there's a simplicity in forgiving even as. God didn't look at Ed House and say, Ed, I'd like to forgive you, but it's complicated. He didn't complicate me. He didn't complicate my mistakes. He just forgave me. There's a simplicity of the gospel. There's a simplicity of forgiveness. There's a simplicity in even as. You by faith forgive, even as he's forgiven, and he can restore your soul. That person can't restore your soul. He restores your soul. You forgive, even as. You're looking forward, even as. Praise God. He restores your soul, makes it right again. And why is this important? This is about going forward. There's either something that's going to cause you to be able to press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ. Why did Paul have that attitude? Because this is one of the last things he wrote. He said, at my first offense, no one stood with me. All forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Kind of sounds like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He kept forgiveness very simple. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He was looking forward with a heart of forgiveness for those who... He was saying, oh, I wonder if they're going to leave me again. No. May it not be counted. The Lord stood with me. I can go forward in my call because no matter what anybody does for me, if God be for you, who? That's a broad statement. Who can be against you if God be for you? If it's good enough that the Lord stood with me, may it not be laid against him. There's an upward call in that. This is going into your future. This is your present. Paul had a powerful present ministry. And he could go forward into that ministry knowing that God was for him. Knowing that the God who had been faithful to him was going to stay faithful to him to the end, to bring him into his heavenly kingdom. And so, again, this morning, your story, seeing God's hand in your life, there's kind of three tracks going on here. This is what God did through the Apostle Paul, just kind of sharing a few things God did in my life. But let the Holy Ghost just stir up in you unmistakable points where God has spoken to you, where his presence is real to you. Write some of those down. It's amazing if you ever take a time to do some kind of a promise book where you write down your prayer requests and you see God answer them, how many times he's answered. Just the faithfulness. It's great, again, to get the stories of the Old Testament patriarchs and read about even the New Testament Acts, but you've got a story too. In fact, I like the way people say the book of Acts. It stops so abruptly at Acts chapter 28. It really doesn't have a conclusion. We are the conclusion for the book of Acts. Our lives, the workmanship he's created us to be, to walk out those good works he's ordained us to walk in, still being penned in that heavenly book of Acts. That's us. That's our story. And you have a story. Know your story. I've been there. I've been there where I've been frustrated. I've been in despair, angry at myself, angry at people, feeling in a dark place, and thinking, wait now. God did this, and He did this, and He did this. And the goodness of God, remembering the goodness of God in my life, remembering my breakthroughs, remembering revelations, remembering places that He's been with me, it destroys that demonic math. No, He's still with me. He's still for me. It's been amazing. You know, a lot of times God will use the scripture to break something, but God will use your story to break down the enemy's accusations and story. He's been faithful to you. You have a story. Know your story. I've been challenged to know my story more and more. I not just say it is written. I can say God has said, God has done, God is faithful, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that blessed me and believed in me and delivered me and set me free is the same one today. He doesn't change in that way either. My story, your story, seeing God's hand in your life. He led you through the sea. He made it swallow up the Egyptians, your enemy, and delivered you on dry land too. Me too. Father, we thank You this morning for the story that we have in our hearts. Personal, intimate experiences with the Holy Ghost, some of which we may have shared, some we may have not have shared. Lord, we stir that up in our hearts right now. And we just believe in our hearts that You are the same. Go ahead and make it. It's a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, You've known my form in my mother's womb. You knitted me together. You saw my life. You created me for good works. You've ordained me to walk in. I have purpose. And I have a God who not only loves me, but has revealed Himself to me. He has shown me Himself. He has shown me His mercy. I've experienced peace. When I didn't deserve peace, I've experienced kindness. When I didn't deserve kindness, grace, it's real. I know it. Mercy is real. I've experienced it. Your Spirit is real. I've heard words of truth, of revelation. I have firsthand seen Your supernatural provision in my life. You've rained manna. You've provided quail for me. I have no excuse. I have a story. You're good. You're faithful. Thank You, Heavenly Father. I just wanted You to know this morning that I remember Your faithfulness to me. And I refuse to be discouraged. I forget the stuff that's behind, that's not of You. And I reach forward to those things that are before me, remembering and recounting Your faithfulness to me. I know that You will always cause me to triumph through Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that again. Again, I think some of the heavy lifting this morning is done through that second sermon of the Holy Spirit. Is you think of something and go, oh yeah, I remember that. I mean, I was kind of challenged to do this, and I remembered Steve. I hadn't thought about him for years. Thank You for Steve, Lord. He'll remind you of things you haven't thought of. That's the cool thing. When you begin to get that grateful heart, thankful heart, it causes you to remember those things you have to be thankful for. And it'll encourage you. Praise God as you're moving forward. Praise God.